God's word together, and if you have your Bibles with you, if you open them at John chapter 1, or maybe you've got a phone, well, turn the other apps off and open your Bible app at John and chapter 1. It's lovely to be able to look at this together. I had privilege this week of having my grandson with me for a couple of days while my daughter-in-law had their second child, and he's got a new saying. His saying goes like this: the best pizza ever. And it doesn't really matter what it is. You know, he has a bit of chocolate, the best chocolate ever. Just as we were picking him up from this house, his mum had bought him a little tiny Christmas tree, and it was a tiny little thing which he could decorate for himself. And as we got there and he showed us the Christmas tree, he said, "The best Christmas ever!" And it's strange, isn't it, to think that at such a time as this. Now, he's only 2 and a bit years old. He doesn't really understand all of the restrictions that we've been through. But how can this be the best Christmas ever? Why would we dare to use such a thing as our Christmas kind of theme for this year? It doesn't seem like that, does it? We've been through really difficult times, and I know some of you have been through particularly difficult times, not just because of lockdown over this period. How is it possible that this can be the best Christmas ever? Well, we need to see, don't we, the real meaning of Christmas. We need to understand what Christmas is really all about. Now, the problem is, even as believers, if you're that this morning, or maybe you've been to church a lot or heard in school all about Christmas, and you understand the story is in your head, as it were, but we can still miss the reality which makes this, in spite of all our circumstances and all the difficulties and all the arguments about who is going to come home for Christmas and who isn't, in spite of all of that, can still make this the best Christmas ever. You see, we can know something, but it cannot actually have an impact on you. When I was at university, as a lecturer at university, Princess Anne was going to come to visit Bath University, And so I was asked, as one of the senior academics, to meet the princess, or at least to be at the reception for the princess when she came. So I said yes. I'm not particularly a royalist, I'm not particularly anti-monarchy either. I just was intrigued to see how they would allow somebody with such an obvious Northern Irish accent so near the princess. But anyway, I said yes, and the day came, and it happened to be an open day for students at the time, and so as director of studies, I had to meet a whole lot of students, so I got myself dressed up for it. I knew what was going to come later in the day, but I got so involved in sorting things out for the open day that it just, the reality of what was going to happen that afternoon escaped me entirely. I just forgot about it. Suddenly, I was sitting in my office having finished the open day, and I thought, it's really quiet around campus. What's going on? And so I suddenly realized that, and I rushed out to get to where I was wanting, only to be pushed aside by 2 burly security officers because I was way too late to enter at that point in time. So you can know, but it can't be a reality. You can miss the reality of it. So what we want to see is in this passage the reality of what there is for us this Christmas. So we are amazed again at what God has done for us. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, I do pray that this morning that you would meet him and come to know what it is to have the best Christmas ever, no matter what our circumstances. Let me just pray for a moment. Lord God, as we come to your word, Father, speak to us. Father, move in this place by your Spirit. And in each home which is looking in through the live stream, oh, Father, be present there. Father, speak to us. Teach us more of you, we pray. Amaze us by you, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. So I want you to see, first of all, here that there is an offer for you. There's an offer for you. It's actually in verse 12. It's just before the bit that Margaret read to us. It says, "Yet to all who did receive him." There's an offer. There's something you've got to receive. Now, this is important. A few days ago, I went out to our to do the bins, and bin day, which happens to be on a Thursday, so Wednesday night I went out to sort the bins out, and I was actually the recycling this week, so I was sorting the recycling, gathering up the cardboard, the wind had blown away, and I suddenly saw a bit of cardboard right by the other bins down the side of our house. So I went to pick that up to chuck it in the recycling, to realize that this was actually a parcel that had been unopened. Now, what had happened is that whoever the deliverers were, DPD or Amazon or whoever it was, had obviously come, rung the doorbell, I hadn't been there, and so they had just left the parcel down where they thought was secure by the bins down the side of the house. The problem was they hadn't actually put a card through the door. So by the time I came to that parcel, it was absolutely sodden. It had been pouring down with rain, and the parcel itself was pretty much ruined. Thankfully, inside, what was inside was wrapped up in plastic, as usual, far too much packaging and everything. But this time, it worked. It was good. We had too much packaging. But you see, the thing was, I had actually missed the fact that I should have been receiving something. I hadn't been told. Now, obviously, you know something about Christmas, probably quite a lot about Christmas. But maybe, actually, it's not spoken into your experience. You've not been told, in a sense. And because of that, we miss the reality of Christmas. I want you to see here that this is an offer that's for you. It says, but to all who receive him, to all who receive him. It's an offer for you. And so maybe you're coming along this morning or you're watching on live stream because somebody in your family insists upon it and you really don't want to be here and you're thinking about other things rather than what's actually going on here. The wonderful Christmas decorations. Thank you to the team who did all this around us. It looks wonderful. Maybe your mind's on something else entirely. But this is for you. If you're a believer this morning, this is for you. And if you are a believer this morning, I want you to be amazed. Why should God give a gift to you? Why should he bother with us? Doesn't he know what we're like? Well, of course he does. And yet this morning, there is an offer for you. Praise God. There's an offer for each one of us who's willing to receive it. So secondly, what is the offer? So we've got the offer here in verse 12, for all who will receive. What is the offer? Well, When my young grandson was, probably when you were young as well, when you're young, what happens when you get given a present? I don't know if you're rather like me that I still occasionally do that. You get given a present, and what do you do first of all? Well, some of you might rip into it, but do you happen to just kind of lift it up and shake it a bit to see what's inside? There's a few people are nodding their heads. Maybe it's just me. Just to try and work out what's inside. So we've got to work out what this offer is. Now, have a look in verse 12. It says, to all who did receive him. So this offer that God is giving us is a person. It's a person to all who will receive him. Now, it's important to see that we're supposed to meet a person. We're supposed to meet a person. Now, again, you might know that Christmas is about Jesus coming, but it's not about looking and seeing this thing that happened in the past, some historic event. It's about a reality. Again, we can miss the person. When I was in Bath, the Pirates of the Caribbean, I think it was movie number 2 of the series, was coming out, and we took our kids who were younger at the time to see it, and there was somebody dressed up as Captain Jack there. If you haven't watched the Pirates of the Caribbean, you won't know who Captain Jack is. If you do, you'll know very well who it is. If you haven't seen it, it's worth seeing. But someone dressed up as Captain Jack was there. Now, Johnny Depp was the one who played Captain Jack. And so my kid said to me, "It's Johnny Depp." Now, my response was probably the response of any sane parent. No, it's not. Of course it's not Johnny Depp, it's just somebody dressed up as the same character. And so they went, no, it's Johnny Depp. I said, no, it's not, and I hurried them into the cinema, only for the papers the next day to say that Johnny Depp was outside the cinema meeting people who had come to see his film. Well, actually, he has a house in Bath, so it wasn't surprising. I should have known. I didn't know. But there was the person. They could have met him. But you see, because I was so cynical, my kids didn't have a chance to meet him. And you see, what is it here to receive him. What does it mean to receive him? Well, the word here actually probably means better to recognize him. To recognize, first of all, that he is the Son of God. To recognize who Jesus is. He's not just a baby in a manger. It's not a celebration of a nice birth again. But it's to recognize that here is the Son of God, promised from eternity, born of a virgin, as promised back 700 years before in Bethlehem, as promised many hundreds of years before, come to save us, as promised from millennia past. This is the Son of God who has come to save us. It's to recognize him, it's to realize our need of him, to realize that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Now, we know that, don't we? Because we constantly are doing things that we wish we couldn't do. Our lives are full of regrets about the things that we wish we hadn't said and the things we wish we hadn't done and the way we wish we should have done things differently. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We need to realize our need of him. And we need to respond by asking him to forgive us, to cleanse us, and to make us new. You see, it says here, to all who receive him, to all who believe in his name. That's what to receive him means. It's to recognize who he is, to realize our need of him, and to respond by asking him to forgive us. Now, what do we get with this offer? So we meet the Lord Jesus Christ, but what's the result of that? Well, have a look again at verse 12. It says, he says here, if I can read it properly. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, we've got there, he gave the right to become children of God. He gave the right to become children of God. Now, that's amazing. That's a right. This is adoption. Now, I guess many of us don't realize the wonder of adoption. I have a cousin whose wife was given up by her parents to be fostered from when she was a baby. She never knew her parents. And she really struggled because she said, well, who am I? Where do I belong? Who really loves me? And she went to try and look for her parents. The sad thing was that she found under the right to know, when that law was changed, she found out that her father was still living, went and knocked at his door, and as he opened the door, he just said to her, I do not want you, go away, never call on me again. We don't understand that, do we? And yet, the reality is, because of our sin and our fallen nature, that we are separated from God, from the one who is our Father. And at Christmas time, what is his offer to us? His offer to us is to come back to know him again, to be part of his family again, to actually belong, to know him as our Father. Can you imagine this situation? The Queen visits a prison, the most notorious prison in the UK. I don't know which one that is at the moment, but let's just imagine. She visits the most notorious prison in the UK. She goes to the most notorious prisoner in that prison. So we're thinking of a murderer, a mass murderer, a rapist, or someone like that. And she goes to him, and she says to him, I want you to join my family. I want you to join the royal family. I want you to become a prince of the kingdom. Can you imagine what the Daily Mirror would say to that, or the Daily Mail would say to that? Can you imagine? And not only that, I want you to live with me. And I want you to enjoy all the privileges of being with me. It's offensive, isn't it? Do you not know what he's done? Do you not know how bad he is? Do you not know the things he might yet do? Do you not understand that? Well, but can you put yourself in the place of that man or woman? Where before you were under condemnation, now you're fully pardoned. Where before you had all those reasons for your failure, whatever it was, your upbringing or abuse as a child or gangs and where you live or whatever it is, have been taken away because you've been put into a new situation. Whereas before your future was bleak, now your future is certain. Whereas before you had need, and if you came out of the prison, you would have need for the rest of your life. Now you're provided for. Where before your status in society was an outcast, and now you belong. Can you imagine for that man or that woman what it would feel like? That person who had no power or no authority before is now given all power and all authority, is given a life which is it's so utterly different from the life that he or she had before. And nothing and nobody can take it away from them, because it is the Queen who has said so. Oh, it's just an illustration, really, isn't it? But you know, an even more outrageous thing is that God should have you and me belonging to his family. Isn't that amazing? You see, that's the gift of Christmas. That's his offer. He gives us the Lord Jesus Christ so that we might know him. Where before we knew guilt, now there is no more guilt. Where before I had a past which I was ashamed of, now I need no longer to be ashamed because Jesus has dealt with it all. Whereas before I was potentially had insecurity and an uncertain future, now I know that he is with me no matter what happens. Whereas before I might have been anxious and worried, now I know that I have a Father who has the riches of heaven to provide for me and will not let me go, he will not leave me or forsake me in any situation. Whereas before I was lonely, now I know there's somebody who is with me constantly, who welcomes me into his presence. If only I would use that privilege. Whereas before I was outcast, now I am fully accepted. You see, this is his offer to you this Christmas. This is why it can be the best Christmas ever. And so, you see, there's an offer for you, and we've seen what the offer is, but I just want to finish with two little things. First of all, who is making this offer? Well, this brings us to verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. The Word, what does that mean? Well, it's a bit like a hyperlink, a link, you know, you click on a website, it takes you somewhere else, and it takes us back to Genesis in chapter 1. And what do we find in Genesis in chapter 1? We see there that the whole of the Godhead is there. Father, Son, and Spirit. The Spirit moves over the waters. The Father is there who proclaims, and Christ is the one who speaks, is creating power over this world. And he speaks, and we read in verse 3, and God said, they said, let us make, and he said, and God said, and then the world comes into being. And so we see in this passage of ours that in the beginning was the Word was with God, verse 1, and the Word was God. And then we see in verse 3, through him all things were made, without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. Why is it important to get to know Jesus? Why is it important that he is the one who is the Savior? Well, it's because he is the one who speaks life. So it doesn't matter how dead you've been in your past. It doesn't matter how bad the things that you have done. It doesn't matter what your insecurities might be. He is the one who from nothing creates life. And so first of all, he can do it. He is able to deal with us in our sin and our desperation. In him was life, and that life was the light of man. But secondly, he will do it. When Jesus was with us, we saw that he healed the blind, that he cleansed the leper, that he even raised the dead. He is the one who gives life. And so we know that what he says, he will do. Last Christmas, I had a gift. We had a gift given to Anne and I. It was a spa day in Bath Spa. It still sits, for some strange reason, in our bedroom. And, I guess you can guess why. COVID has cancelled many things, hasn't it? Spa days are one of them. We can't use it. Now, there is nothing that Caris can do about that gift that she gave us to enable us to use that gift. The offer is there. The offer was received, but we couldn't do anything about it. She couldn't do anything about it. But you see, this is the thing. The Lord Jesus Christ came and died and was raised from the dead, demonstrating that he can do it, that the offer that he has at Christmas time will be complete in him. You know, God offers you life, and he is able. You can trust in him. And finally, there's a privilege of accepting his offer. Last week, the government announced the Christmas regulations, didn't they? Immediately, my kids were all on the social media and the messaging apps trying to figure out which of them could actually come home for Christmas. And it was lovely, wasn't it? Because actually, we felt, well, they want to come home. It's great. They're not planning their own things, and they're well beyond the age where they need to come home. But they want to come home. Why did they want to come home? Well, I guess it's Anne's great cooking. That's brownie points for me saying that, you understand. This is Anne's great cooking. I guess it's the comfort of being home. I guess it's laundry being done for them. I guess it's not having to tidy the house. I guess, actually, most of all, is that they know that they are loved, and we will always love them. They know that we will do everything that is good for them that is within our power. They know that they belong there. You know, some of you have loving homes. What a privilege. Some of you have never had loving homes, and you don't know the reality of it. But this offer at Christmas is for you to know, no matter what your background, no matter what your situation, that you have a loving Father, and you have a loving home, and you belong there, and nothing can take you away from it. And it doesn't matter what happens around us. God will eternally speak his gift and message of love into your hearts and life. And it doesn't matter how bad our situations, God continually speaks, even sometimes in a still, small voice, his peace and comfort and presence into your heart and life. You see, this is the gift of God, and nothing can take it away from you. Why can nothing take it away from you? Well, a few years ago, my daughter Karis came home to us, and she had pictures. She said, "Guess where I stayed?" And she had this picture. Now, I just need to explain it just a moment just to get the idea. There was huge entrance gates, big pillars. Then there was a long driveway, probably about half a mile of a driveway lined by trees. And then there was a gravel front to this with a kind of fountain in the middle. And then there was this grand house, you know the kind of house that has multiple wings. You know, you don't, not just east and west, but you've got as many wings as you like. One of those places. And I said to her, well, have you been to a National Trust house? She said, no, I was staying there. I said, well, how did you get to stay in a place like that? She said, well, the son of the person who owns this house, which is actually now an English Heritage house, it's used by English Heritage people to look around. The son of the person who owns the house was at university with me, and he invited me into the house. And you know all those little red bits of rope that you can't cross? She was allowed to go through every single one of them. And no one could stop her because the son had said she could be there. Believers, this morning, the Son has said you can be there. With the Father, you belong, and nothing and nobody can take that away from you. Oh, can you see? If we can only see the reality of what Christmas actually means, it doesn't mean things like masks. I don't know where I put my, but things like masks. It doesn't mean restrictions, although these are here now. It means you belong. You have a loving Father who, no matter what the situation, speaks peace to you, speaks joy into your situation, and longs for you to enjoy him this Christmas, to spend time with him this Christmas, so he can make it the best Christmas ever.